Our reading from the New Testament comes to us from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 2, beginning at the 15th verse. Listen now for a word from God. Paul is speaking and he says, "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is reckoned as righteous not by the works of the law, but through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And we have come to believe in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right by the faith of Christ and not by doing the works of the law, because no one will be made right by the works of the law. But if in our effort to be made right in Christ, we ourselves have been found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. But if I build up again the very things that I once tore down, then I demonstrate that I am a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been co-crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be an offering to you on this, the second day. Amen. It was in April of 1999 when I took a two-hour car ride from Louisville, Kentucky, down to Bowling Green, Kentucky, and I was seeing a lot more of rural Kentucky than I had ever seen before. I remember seeing one sign that said, "Used cows." I've never figured that out. But I was going for an interview to be a summer intern. And so I arrived, I got off I-65, and I took my exit and made my way through town. I had done a little bit of research about Bowling Green, Kentucky. Bowling Green, Kentucky is known for Corvettes, at one time for RC Cola, and for Western Kentucky University. And their mascot was the Hilltopper, which looked to be like Grimace from McDonald's, except red. So I got to the interview early, and I met the organist, and he took me into the sanctuary to wait for my interview because the head of staff was busy in a meeting. And I was in the sanctuary for about a half a second before I noticed the Stations of the Cross. And now Cheryl has some slides of the Stations of the Cross. If you don't know what the Stations of the Cross are, they are 14 artistic renderings of the last moments of Christ's life, from when he is condemned by Pilate and falls several times. He accepts his cross, he meets Mary, his mother, he meets the women of Jerusalem, Simon of Cyrene carry the cross. You can cycle through some of those. These were not the ones that were on the wall in the sanctuary of the church in Bowling Green, Kentucky, but they give you some idea of what they might have been like. My jaw was still hanging open on the floor when the head of staff came in, and I guess he was very sensitive to this fact, and he asked me, he said, "I bet you'd like to know why the Catholic Stations of the Cross are hanging in a Presbyterian church in Bowling Green, Kentucky." And I said, "Well, if you have the time." But I said it in a nice way because I wanted the job. And so he explained to me what happened, that a member of the church, a beloved member of the church, was traveling in Scotland and had wound up in a very nice, I imagine, place where they sell art. And he happened upon these 14 oil paintings of Jesus in his last moments on earth. And he must have struck up a conversation with the guy who worked there. And when the guy found out that he was Presbyterian, he said, "You know what? I can't believe it. You're Presbyterian. These 14 oil paintings, they're Presbyterian too. You should take them back to your church. They'll love it. You'll buy these and take them back with you to Kentucky and hang them on the walls of your sanctuary." And when he said that, I laughed. But over the summer, I spent a little time with the Stations of the Cross and kind of wondered about them, wondered where they came from and learned about them. And I found myself, even though it was the summertime, following Jesus in the last moments of his life and imagining myself in that moment with him. And that's what Paul is doing in Galatians when he says, "I am crucified with Christ." And that's what I want to talk about tonight, is this idea, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the Greek word is actually even stronger. We could translate it, I have been co-crucified with Christ. To be crucified with Christ might mean that we're with him, that we're observers somehow, that we're close but yet separated. But to be co-crucified, in my mind, seems like an intensification. It feels even more uncomfortable. There can be no doubt, if we are co-crucified with Christ, then we are united with him in a death like his. This passage is definitely about Paul. Paul is talking about himself. Paul is saying that everything of value in his life is no longer valuable. I think he's saying that he has undergone significant struggles and sorrows and suffering. Paul's life had been very similar to, if we could combine, a professor of religious studies at a prestigious university and like a cardinal in the Catholic Church and then like a first-star general. And if we could push all those together, that would have been the kind of powerful position Paul had. And now he experiences everything that those people that he persecuted experienced. In 2 Corinthians, he says, 5 times I have received from the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I received a stoning. 3 times I was shipwrecked. For a night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers and sisters, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, hungry and thirsty, and often without food, cold and naked. So when he says, I have been crucified with Christ, I think I understand what he means. I understand that he is, even metaphorically, putting himself in the role of Jesus. His own life crucified with the crucified Lord. Paul, even though he never knew about the Stations of the Cross, was sort of following the Stations of the Cross, falling and getting up and falling again and being helped up by others. Paul crucified. Paul even buried in the tomb. It's there when he says, I have been co-crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So this is about Paul, but it's also about us. When we say these words, I hear an invitation to step even deeper into the mystery of our faith. And the mystery of our faith is this, that you and I are called to be co-crucified with Christ. But frankly, I'm not sure if we should do it. I don't like the idea that we would have to suffer or struggle or carry the burden of sorrows. I don't like the idea that we would have to go where we'd rather not go, be with people we'd rather not be with, do things we'd rather not do. That doesn't sound good to me. It doesn't sound like what I was promised. For so many years I heard, and maybe you heard too, Christ died on the cross so you don't have to. Christ suffered so you don't have to. Christ was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, so you don't have to be. But I don't think that's true. I think Paul is saying that's not true. I think the deeper mystery of our faith is that we're invited to follow Christ in our own stations of the cross. We're invited to be co-crucified with Christ. We do suffer. We are sorrowful. We struggle. This is the mystery of our faith, that our lives, just like Christ's life, are cruciform. We live a cruciform life. One Paul scholar named Michael J. Gorman writes about this idea of cruciformity. He says, faith is co-crucifixion with Christ. Faith is a death experience. Wow, faith is a death experience. Then as he's talking about this passage about justification and being made right with God and restoration, he says, this restoration to right covenant relations, is therefore an experience of death and resurrection, or resurrection via death. I'm slowly coming to terms with the idea that this life is a life filled with death, and that faith might be a death-like experience. But I think there's also good news. Good news in the cruciformity of our lives. I'm hesitant to talk about good news tonight because we've all heard too many Good Friday services that end with someone singing, "Because He Lives." So maybe the single biggest piece of good news is that we can live cruciform lives together, that we can walk the stations of the cross together, that we can fall, that we can wipe our brows, that we can go together. We can help one another bear the burden. And so we can join with St. Paul and with others who have fought the good fight, finished the race, and kept the faith. We can claim the promise of the communion of all saints of every time and place, whether they have halos in any pictures or not. On this Good Friday, I hope whatever your struggles, whatever your sorrows, whatever things you suffer, even if you think that they're only the size of a thimble, I hope you can join with me. I hope you can join with one another, join with St. Paul, as we all fall and get up and fall again, and are helped and help one another, and make our way to the cross where the Lord dies. Hear the words of St. Paul again. I have been co-crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me and for you. Amen.